Well, today and for the rest of this month, I'm going to be doing a four-part series. I haven't done a series in a while. I always enjoy doing them. And this series is going to be on the way that we talk to ourselves about ourselves and the way that we talk to ourselves about our life. It's called the Self-Talk Series. Isn't that catchy? Now, I've wanted to do this for quite a while because I am continually amazed at the things that I hear people say. On a regular basis, I hear people saying things about themselves that they would never dream of saying to someone they loved. Have you ever noticed that? I hear it all the time. I hear people talking with great conviction about all the negative aspects of their job, their partner or their spouse, their own body, their financial situation, about every single part of their human experience. And the words that they use when talking to themselves about themselves, the emotions that they express when they're doing it, and the ease with which they criticize everything tells me one of two things. First of all, either they aren't paying attention to what they are saying, and there are a lot of people who don't listen while they're talking, I've noticed that, or they don't understand how powerful their words are in sustaining and even expanding the negative experiences that are such a big part of their life. Because if they realized either of these things, if not both, they would probably change the way that they talk. At least that's what I like to think. Now today, just because we celebrated Labor Day this past week, I decided to start with what is probably the easiest and the least threatening area of our life, our job. Or if you don't have a traditional job, if you're a parent working at home, or you're in between, whatever it is, you can focus on whatever way you are expressing creativity in your life right now. Now, when I say that our work life is the easiest area of our life, I am not saying that it is always easy or that it is easy for everyone. For some people, finding work that they love has always been the most difficult area of life to deal with, and that's probably true for at least a few of you here in the room today. But when we compare our work life to issues like health problems, lack of money, or all the different and exciting relationship problems that we tend to create for ourselves, I think most of us would probably agree that work problems are pretty much the most straightforward challenges that we have. That's why I think it's a good place to start. And then next week, we'll talk about our body. We'll talk about the way we talk about our physical form, about disease, about energy, all these different things. The week after that, we'll talk about money, prosperity, and the things we say about that. And on week four, once we've all got our nerve up, we'll talk about relationships and family and all these fun things, you know, that's always the most interesting. Now, the difference is, in this series, instead of repeating all of the normal stuff that we read about health, wealth, work, and relationships, and the stuff that we read in all the self-help books and the seminars and the TV shows, I'm going to focus primarily on how we talk about these things. Why? Because how we talk about our life is a direct indication of how we think about our life and how we feel about our life, and how we think and feel about our life is what makes our life the way it is. It's really as simple as that. I mean, if we really understood at a very deep, visceral, mental, emotional, and spiritual level that every word that we say, every story that we tell, every complaint that we make is an affirmation that goes directly, and I mean directly, to the creative center of the universe and tells Spirit what to create for us with all of the pain, all of the drama, and all of the inconvenience that goes along with our language, if we knew that, I think we'd all be a whole lot more careful about what comes out of our mouth. Don't you think? I do. Now, to make this point crystal clear and to sort of set the tone for this month, I'm going to tell a story that will probably get me in trouble. But since you guys are the only ones who can fire me, what the hell? I will go ahead and do it. Okay, now I'll take the chance. Now, I warn you in advance that this story is very slightly off color, and a few of you might not appreciate it. And if you don't like it, I apologize in advance. Please write a letter to the Archbishop and tell him about me. But don't write me. That's my point. Okay. All right. It's a very spiritual story. A man walks into a local tavern, and he has a monkey on his shoulder, all right? And he proceeds to sit down at the bar. Now, the bartender comes over, and he says, "I'm sorry, sir, we don't allow animals in the bar. It's a health code, so the monkey is going to have to leave." Now, the man says, "Look, I know, but this monkey is part of my act. I'm working down the street. I've had this monkey for 2 years. He's very well-trained. He's very well-behaved. There will not be a problem, I promise. All I want to do is get a beer, and then we'll be gone." Well, the bartender wasn't very busy that night, not many people. She says, "Okay, no problem, sit down." So the man sits down, and he's sipping his beer. And right next to the bar is a pool table, and there's a couple of men shooting pool. Well, the monkey is watching the pool table. He's watching the balls. All of a sudden, the monkey jumps on the table. He grabs the cue ball. He throws it in his mouth, and he swallows it. Now the guys start yelling because they can't play pool anymore. The bartender comes over and says, "I thought it wasn't going to be any trouble. You're out of here," and throws them out, throws the two of them out. 6 months later, same man walks in the same bar with the same monkey on his shoulder, same bartender behind the bar, and the bartender sees him and says, "I thought I told you to never come back here." And the man says, "Look, I came here to apologize, okay? I want a second chance. Here's your cue ball. All I want is a beer." Now, the bartender says, "All right, sit down, but this is your last chance." Now, the monkey is sitting very quietly on the same bar stool that he was sitting before, not even looking at the pool table. And the bartender is keeping an eye on him. Well, the monkey reaches up on the bar after a few minutes, and he takes a peanut. And he looks at it. Here goes. And he reaches and he pokes it in his behind and he pulls it out and pops it into his mouth. Bartender's watching him. Reaches up, grabs another peanut, looks at it, same thing, pops it into his mouth. Bartender comes over. Monkey does it a third time. Bartender says, "What is he doing?" And the man said, "Well, ever since he passed that cue ball, he's been sizing everything before he eats it." All right. Now. Okay. Okay. Now. Here's why I told that story. First of all, a friend bet me a dollar I wouldn't. That's first. But in the same way, the monkey is now very careful about what goes in his mouth because of how it can hurt him. We need to be aware of how what comes out of our mouth can hurt us. That's the point of the story. All right? Now, if we can start examining things, that's all we have to do, just this much, okay? You know, before we say them, eventually, the only things that we're going to say are things that are going to help us to grow, to heal, and to prosper. That's what we want to do with our language. Now, in what Christians call the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, somebody always asks me, there's a verse that says this. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it." All right? "So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void." Now, I realize it's quite a leap from a monkey in a bar to an Old Testament prophet. But spiritual wisdom comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And what this verse means is, even though our intent starts in our consciousness, in our mind, it gets its legs when we bring what is in here out into the world. And that's what we do when we start to talk about what we're thinking about. Our thoughts are incredibly powerful. Most of us here, if not all of us, realize that. That's why we're in this kind of a teaching. But when we start talking out loud about what we are thinking about, whether we are doing it consciously or unconsciously, then we move to a whole new level. The creative process, which we're always setting in motion at the invisible level, at the inner level, at the mental and the emotional level, once we start speaking, has now moved into the physical world. It's now making noise. So we can hear what we are saying. It's not just spinning around in here. And we may now feel the need to expand upon it or to justify it. And people around us can now hear what we were thinking, and they can begin to respond to it too. And if what we are saying supports what they believe or supports the race consciousness or the general way people are thinking, then they agree with us and we all start talking about it and it goes on and on. We see this all the time. Now, in terms of work, the classic example from the 50s and the 60s, probably most of us haven't experienced this, but the classic example is the conversation around the water cooler. You know, we've all heard about that. That's where everybody used to stand around the water cooler and complain about the boss and complain about the work schedule and gossip about who deserved to be fired and who was sleeping with whom to get ahead, that kind of stuff. That's where they talked about it. But the worst thing about that was if anyone made a negative statement about anyone or anything, even about something minor or something that was not true, everybody else started adding their own spin to it and their own opinions and their own fears and their own negative expectations until eventually what was once a small thing became something that could cause serious problems in the company or even ruin someone's reputation. Now today the same thing happens on email, only it covers more ground and it spreads a lot faster. Now, the real reason that most of us feel the need to talk about our job or our customers or our clients or what's going on at work is because it touches us at so many different levels. For one thing, for most of us, work takes up a pretty good percentage of our time and energy. It's also the only place for a lot of us where we have the opportunity to show the world what we can do, to display our talents and use our strengths, and maybe even get a little amount of status or recognition, which is always nice as long as we keep our ego in check. Work is also the way that a lot of us make money to live, which makes it extremely emotional at times, especially if we feel vulnerable or threatened, like our job is going to go away. So it's no surprise that we feel the need to talk about our job so much, whether it's the argument we had that day with a coworker, or whether we think the company is going to go under, or whether we're talking about what the kids did at the playground in the case of someone who works as a parent. For better or worse, our work becomes a part of our identity. And because we're all always trying to look our best, our normal tendency is to talk about the details of our work experience in a way that makes us look good. Unfortunately, this is not always helpful, because frequently the way that we try and look good is to talk about how difficult our job is. We may talk about how many hours we have to work or how little support we get, or how difficult things are today in our particular industry. We got any realtors and mortgage brokers out there? A lot of talk going on right now about that. We may talk about how underpaid we are, how our boss doesn't appreciate us, or how much our customers are always complaining. But meanwhile, we are also quick to point out, throughout all of these difficult challenges with work, we are still managing to struggle through, even though things are so very, very hard. You know, that's what we kind of tell them, you know, that's what we do. Now, before I go any further, I realize that we have a lot of different kinds of work experience in this room. Some of you are traditional 8-to-5ers, whatever. Some of you are entrepreneurs, contract employees. Some of you work irregular hours or weekends like I do. Some of you work at home. Some of you are full-time parents. Some of you are retired. And some of you are between jobs. But whatever your present work experience happens to be, the point here is, first of all, we all talk about what we do, and we all have good days and not-so-good days, no matter what we do. So sometimes when things are going great, we walk around happy telling people how wonderful everything is. And other times when things keep going wrong, we walk around describing all of our problems and all of our concerns to anybody we can get to listen. The problem is when we only talk about our job based on what is going on that day or that week, we are not only reacting to circumstances, what we forget is we are also unconsciously continuing them. We're unconsciously continuing them. And learning how to consciously create our life, I say that again, consciously create our life is the name of the game. It's the name of the game. That's a theme we're going to be talking about over this entire month. Now, at this point in this kind of discussion, someone will usually ask, usually one of my third-year students, they usually ask these kind of questions. They say, okay, then if I only say positive things when things are going good, and I don't say anything when things are going bad, then everything's going to get better, right? And my answer to that is, it depends. It depends, all right? It depends upon what is in our consciousness every time we open our mouth. Every time we open our mouth. In other words, if we say positive things when things are going good, are we simply acknowledging the good stuff that already happened, or are we consciously creating new and better stuff in here for the future? And if we are not saying anything at all when things are bad, are we not saying anything because we're afraid of attracting more bad stuff? Or are we just being quiet because we're thinking about some more really good things to say so we can start to turn things around? There's a difference in those consciousnesses. So what this means is we not only need to think creatively in our life, we also need to speak creatively and to act creatively if we want things to change, and that is a spiritual process. That is a spiritual process. That's what we have to understand. Something else that I find interesting that I've noticed is that even when things are going really well for people in their business, in their work life, whatever it is, a lot of them are still reluctant to say good things about what's going on because they think it might jinx them. Okay, that's how they feel, all right? So instead of saying, isn't it wonderful how much money is pouring in, they say, it's nice having all this money coming in, but you never know when it's going to stop. That's what they say. Or instead of saying, I love my job, they say, well, the job's all right, but I wish it paid better, or but I wish I didn't have to travel so much, something like that. In other words, they say nice things at first, and then they let their butt get in the way. That's what they do, all right? But. Now, when are we going to get it into our mind, especially those of us who read the books and take the classes and show up here 3 out of 4 Sundays, whatever, when are we going to get it into our mind that our thoughts and our words are the creative power of spirit expressing itself in the world in, as, and through us? When are we going to get that? We're sort of like that monkey who can't tell the difference between a peanut and a cue ball sometimes, you know? We have to realize that the most important difference between different things in our life is not in the thing. The most important difference is in what we choose to do with the thing, how we choose to think about it, how we use our consciousness. The difference between having a job that we love and a job that's just okay or a job that we hate is not in the job. It is in our consciousness of creativity. That's where the difference lies. Now, does that mean someone who wants to be a doctor could shift their consciousness and want to be an accountant? Does that mean someone who wants to be a teacher can shift their consciousness and now want to be a landscape architect? No, that's not what it means. This teaching is not about changing our consciousness so that things we don't like suddenly become interesting. That's not what it's about. This teaching is about shifting our expectations, about shifting our life focus, our energy, our consciousness, so that things that do not resonate with us, like a job we don't like, fall away, and the things that do resonate with our creative spirit start to show up just like that, just like that. The question is, how do we create that resonance? How do we create that vibrational attraction? And I look at it sort of like an instrument. Take a violin, for example. You can look at the most beautiful, antique, expensive Stradivarius violin in the world lying there in its case and know that it probably sounds pretty good, especially in the hands of a master violinist, but until we hear it, that's only a theory. That's only a theory. The violin does not resonate in the physical world until it is played. Until it is played. But the moment that the bow touches those strings, both the person playing it and the people hearing it can feel the sound. They can feel the beauty of the music because now it's being expressed. But that beauty only appears when the potential is made manifest, when the invisible becomes visible or audible in this case. Now, when we whine or complain about our job, about our workday, or the people we work with, or the customers, the clients, or the suppliers, or the congregants, or the economy, whatever it is, Spirit hears our words. Now, that's a metaphor. Spirit doesn't have ears, okay? Everybody clear about that? But Spirit picks up on what we are saying out loud, and it picks up on our words, and it responds to what we say, just like a waitress down at the Waffle House or at the Varsity. What we say is what we get. When I say, I hate my job, we get more opportunities to do just that. When we say, I don't make enough money, we're going to get more and more of less and less. When we say, I don't know how long this job is going to last, you might as well start packing right then, because it is going to happen. You know, it really all comes down to what we believe and how we feel and what we say about ourselves. That's what it all comes down to. Do we really and truly believe that we are smart, talented, and capable? Do we really believe that we are the best person for a certain job, that we can learn any skill, and that we can accomplish any goal? Do we really believe that? Now, if we don't, we need to keep doing our spiritual work until we do. And if we do believe that, we actually don't have to go around telling everyone we know how smart, talented, and capable we are, because if we really are those things, they'll know it soon enough. And if we're not, it doesn't matter what we say, we're not going to be able to fool them. But we also don't need to put ourselves down either. If someone says you did a great job, nice talk, Paul, really nice, we should not be in such a hurry to say, oh, it was nothing, anybody could have done it. But we do. You know, a perfectly appropriate spiritual response to a compliment for the work you do is thank you. Thank you very much. That's not arrogance. That is a recognition of the incredible power and creativity of Spirit, which is present in everyone, everywhere, being expressed through us, not because we are special, but because we are allowing that power to work through us and we are acknowledging its presence. That's what that response means. When we begin to speak our truth about anything, and to speak it clearly to ourselves and to anyone else who is fortunate enough to be around, something amazing happens. Something absolutely amazing happens. Our mind becomes clearer, our confidence grows, people begin to see us as we see ourselves. Things begin to happen in ways that we want them to happen. When our inner belief is in harmony with our outer expression, including the language we use, especially in our work life, our creative life, our true spirit will come through in every single thing that we do. In everything that we do. You know, the true leaders in business, in politics, in virtually anything, in government, whatever it happens to be, the people who are the most successful, the most effective, the most creative, the people who are the best managers, the best marketers, the best salespeople, the best whatever it happens to be, they know who they are and they know what they are. They absolutely do. If you listen carefully, though the language may vary depending on what field they're in, almost everything that comes out of their mouth is spiritually correct. Now, it may not be spiritual language, but their language is on principle. On principle. They do not indulge in routine pessimism or idle gossip. They speak well of others, and they speak well of themselves. They don't talk about blaming other people or talk about themselves as a victim. They speak confidently about the future, even when the present looks a little bit shaky, all the time. These men and women who have this ability to lead and to do this kind of work, they seem to have an inner awareness that they are in the process of creating everything in their experience from this moment and that everyone around them is doing the same. That's why they say nice things about other people. That's why they thank other people and make sure that the people around them get credit because they know that we're all in it together. None of us does this alone. Now, we may not control every single thing that happens to us in our life, but we do control what we say about it. That control we have. And our words are creative. They are incredibly creative. That's why I like to hang around people who are willing to point out when I say something that is not positive or constructive, because they can keep me on the straight and narrow. So this week, as we get into this series this month, I invite you to practice paying attention to your words, to your language, both what you say to others and especially what you say to and about yourself. And start with paying attention to what you say at your job and about your job. Listen to what you say about the people you work with before the words come out of your mouth. Listen before the words come out of your mouth. Don't try to justify negative or fearful comments when you make them. Just don't say them. Just don't say them. And if you feel like something negative has to come out of your mouth or you will choke, okay, go get a drink of water. You're going to be fine, all right? Okay, you're going to be fine. Now, next week, we're going to talk about our health. We're going to talk about our energy. We're going to talk about our body image. We're going to talk about all the interesting things that we say to ourselves about that. So I invite you to be here for the rest of the month because I think we're all going to learn something fun. At least I intend to. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you. All right. Let's take a few moments now for ourselves. Take the things, the words that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let us focus on the awareness, the inner awareness that we are incredibly powerful creative beings. We exist within the one mind, the one God, the one power, the one spirit, and that power exists within us. We are perfect expressions of the one. And as our words go forth from our mouth, we recognize that that is one powerful step in the creative process. So we now begin to go into the world speaking our word as if we knew that we were the word of God, the word of spirit being spoken aloud. We speak kindly to everyone, whether they deserve it or not. We speak honestly without exception. We speak clearly, stating our truth. And we speak from the heart. We speak with compassion, with kindness. We speak with joy. We speak with optimism. We speak knowing a greater truth than what we see. And as we begin to do this, our mind is transformed, so our language changes and our language transforms our mind. They begin to work together, and our spirit transcends the petty conversations, the lies, the fear, the anguish that we hear all around. We no longer receive that language. We no longer surround ourselves with people who speak that way. We are silent until we are able to speak our truth aloud. And when we do, we know that that is a creative process. It is our own word creating a better world for us and for every other person. So I invite you now, in the silence of your own heart and mind, to have the image of you doing your work. Whether it's sitting at a desk, driving in a car, flying, in front of a computer, whatever it happens to be, see yourself there and see yourself in a joyful place. See yourself as positive and prosperous, a person who is connecting with others and welcoming others and sharing talents. Focus on this instead of all the other things that are going on in the news. Take these few moments and see yourself in this perfect way related to the work that you do. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth as our own. We accept that the work that we do is our way of sharing the creative spirit of life with the world. We accept that we are powerful beings. We accept that we have been given great gifts, and we have the opportunity to give great gifts in return, everywhere we go and everything we do. Knowing this, we place our intent firmly on speaking positively, on growing, evolving, creating a better life for ourselves. This is our truth. With a deep appreciation for this awareness, we release our word into consciousness, knowing that it goes forth with the intent with which we send it, and it is changing the world. This is our truth. We release it, and so it is.